Hello, welcome to another exciting edition of the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. Our mission here is to equip you with the necessary tools and insights for your personal and professional transformation. As thought leaders in the youth leadership development ecosystem, we firmly believe that the future of Africa rests in the hands of its vibrant youth. So at Leap Africa, we are dedicated to inspiring, empowering, and equipping a new generation of African leaders who would lead the transformation of our continent, starting with their immediate communities, identifying problems, and diligently making an effort to bring about solutions. I am Joshua Olawuyi, and in this episode, we'll bring you a captivating and insightful panel conversation hosted by Leap Africa during the 2023 African Communications Week. African Communications Week is a renowned global platform that connects communications professionals across the African continent. Its primary objective is to empower and equip Africa-focused communications experts with the necessary tools and resources to reshape the prevailing narratives about Africa. This annual event, held in May, celebrates its seventh year, and Leap Africa proudly hosted a panel discussion on the theme, Impact Beyond Borders. Communications for Development. The conversation is moderated by Ellen Upi, the Communications and PR Manager at Leap Africa. And joining her are four distinguished panelists who will share their wealth of experience and rich perspectives in this discussion. Together, they will delve into the fascinating world of communications for development, sharing their valuable insights and perspectives on how effective communication strategies can create lasting impacts beyond geographical boundaries. Please take a listen.
Our representative from the West of Africa, Blessing Sunday. So Blessing is a communication strategist, public speaking coach, speaker, writer, and editor. She's the founder and lead trainer at BUS Public Speaking Academy, a training organization that is committed to raising dynamic and effective communicators. Blessing is a communication and marketing manager at Faith Foundation, where she manages the foundation's internal and external communication and implementing its storytelling strategies. Next up, we have Fiona representing the East of Africa. Fiona Imbali is a highly experienced communication specialist with a strong background in international development. With over 16 years of experience, she has expertise in strategic communications, multimedia journalism, digital verification, media relations, advocacy, development communications, and science communications, particularly around climate change. Fiona also held communications and programs and administrator positions at the African Center for Technology Studies, head of communication and coordinator of the livelihoods program at the Organization of African Instituted Churches, and a graduate consultant for Christian Aid UK. Moving on, we have next Maki Makura. Maki is a true representative of, when we say, borderless Africa, because Maki is representing us for South Africa or the South of Africa, but Maki is actually Nigerian. So Maki is a Nigerian author, journalist, actress, and businesswoman who currently serves as the executive director of Africa No Filter, an organization aiming at inducing changes in Africa by means of mass media. She has a degree in politics, economics, and law from the University of Buckingham. In 1998, she moved to South Africa, and in 1999, she started her own consulting company. She was deputy director for communications in Africa at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and since 2017, the representative of the foundation in South Africa. In South Africa, she also acted on television, mainly in the Jacob's Cross drama series. So with us, we have a real life, real time star. I particularly enjoyed Jacob's Cross. So it's good to have you, Maki. Thank you so much for joining us. And last but not the least, representing the north of Africa from Morocco, we have Khadija Jannati. Khadija is the CEO of Tea and Coffee, a media and public relations consultancy based in Morocco with offices in Casablanca and Dakar, and operating all over Africa. Tea and Coffee is a member of WorldCom PR Group, the world's largest group of independent PR agencies, with agencies in 45 countries and five continents. She is also the founding president of iAfrica, a network of African entrepreneurs with a common objective of positively impacting Africa. And she's the national president of ESPOD, a leading Moroccan NGO promoting women's economic empowerment through entrepreneurship. So moving in, we'll start off with Blessing. From the lens of a communications expert serving communities in Africa, what does Impact Beyond Borders mean to you, especially within the development sector?
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for having me once again. I'd like to equally recognize the presence of my fellow panelists. I'm looking forward to a very robust conversation and exciting time together. So my perspective of what Impact Beyond Borders mean, I would like to start by emphasizing the importance of communication to human endeavor. So communication in itself is an essential and universal aspect of human interaction. I wonder what the world would be like without a global means or channel of communicating. Every human has the natural innate ability to want to connect, to want to exchange ideas, to want to express themselves, regardless of whatever challenges, whatever barriers there might be. So if we are not identifying a common ground where we can communicate, express ourselves and connect, there might just be disaster. So communication is life, like Kehinde rightly said. I mean, I don't know what is possible. I don't know how much we can achieve if we do not do what is expected of us as communications professionals. Now, back to what I perceive Impact Beyond Borders to be from a communication perspective, it will be simply speaking to the extent to which communication, the power of communication, can help us refine, define, and question the status quo of a group of people, a community, region, society, just so that we're able to make a change. We break the barriers that we can see, whether physical barriers or non-physical barriers, but we're able to shatter barriers and penetrate into communities, into a place, so we can foster change. It is about fostering participation, the people that you are serving. So you are called to serve a group of people. How do you get them to then participate? It's about communicating what you do, how you do it, and more importantly, why you do what you do, such that they can begin to see opportunities that lie ahead of them and tap into them for the betterment of themselves, their communities, and the people around them. So I would say that Impact Beyond Borders is considering how you can effectively communicate what you stand for, communicate why you are doing what you are doing, just so that you can replicate the same result in another community, in another society, in another region, and get the same result. So if your goal is to eradicate poverty in the country, and then you have certain strategies that you have put in place, deploying different levels of communication channels to achieve them, and you get your result, it means that you can also replicate the same strategy you've deployed in another community, in another region. So it is not confined to a particular place. The implication of what you do goes beyond where you are. So you have to be very intentional about how you craft your message for the different stakeholders that you serve. So if you understand the people that you are serving, it helps you to know how to tailor your message to serving them in order to get the desired results that you want. I love what Kehinde said at the start of the program. She said we must be very careful not to be too focused on what we are, the number of people you've been able to reach, but the impact you've been able to hit. Can we really say that after you've been able to deploy all of this strategy, there are tangible changes that we can see in the lives of the people that you are called to serve? So for me, in summary, Impact Beyond Borders is considering how you can deploy the various communication channels and strategies available at your disposal to impact the lives of the people that you are called to serve beyond the four walls of where you are.
Thank you so much, Blessing. Thank you. That was really great. I truly enjoyed that. Moving on to the next question. This is for Maki. So how should development organizations communicate? Blessing touched a bit on that. The intentionality around it, crafting messages and understanding our audience, being intentional about how we communicate and who we are communicating to. So how should development organizations communicate? How do you approach communication strategies aimed at shifting narratives, particularly around the work you do at Africa No Filter?
But I think the important thing around communications and what the trend that we have noticed, particularly around organizations, institutions that communicate in the development sector, is that there tends to be a focus on what is not working. It tends to be a focus on, you know, usually the negative. And what we are trying to get people to understand is that you can talk about what is not working, but in a more positive way. We call it solutions communications. And solutions communications is where you go back and you look at the solution that has worked. So you want to talk about poverty or gender-based violence or, you know, or maternal and child, you know, health. Let's talk about where we've seen it successful or an initiative or a project that has gone well. Let's talk about why it worked. Let's interview the minister who was behind it or the, you know, the health worker that was part of it. And from there, you start highlighting the lessons learned, and you can learn from that. Other people reading that story in different areas who are working on the same issues can learn from it. And then you can highlight what the general problem is or the challenge in that particular country. And I find it's a way of thinking. And the reason why we often don't do that is because often we don't have the data. As communications people, often you go for what's new. Oh, it's the launch of this new initiative. So-and-so has just given the funding here. We talk about what's new. And solutions communications requires you to go back to something that you did before to find out how it worked. And then you look at that, you analyze that. So that's a challenge, I think, because, you know, it can't replace communications because you will always have to announce some new initiative. And that's a lot to do with what we, you know, communications people do. But what we're trying to say is that approach it from a perspective of what's working. So that way you're sending out a different kind of story. And as we know, stories ladder up to narratives. And that's a very simple, clear way of changing the narrative, which I feel that a lot of communications around this particular sector really contributes to a poor narrative about the continent.
Thank you so much, Maki. I truly enjoyed that. Solutions communications, going back to what worked and telling the stories, and also using that same pathway to look at the lessons you learned along the way. Thank you so much. Moving on to Khadija. Does communications have a role in Africa's development? Looking at the current realities of Africa, the estimated numbers of over 3,000 cultures we have, over 2,000 languages, what is some of the key challenges you have faced when implementing impactful communication strategies across borders, and how have you overcome them? This is a great question that would also allow other panelists chime in at the end of Khadija's response. So over to you, Khadija.
Well, thank you very much. And of course, very excited to be here for this discussion. And I would like to renew all the thank you to LEAP Africa and to Africa Communications Week for the initiative. Maybe starting by answering your first part of the question, which is how communication is important to Africa. I think that communication is becoming even more crucial to Africa than it has ever been, because we are living a time where Africa is becoming the center of the world, and it is a fact. We should not anymore be speaking about the potential of Africa. It's not about potential. It's not about the future. It's about today. So there are many, there is an important role that communicators and communications can play. First of all, it's all communications campaigns, especially when we speak about the development sector, have to be able to help Africans know Africa better. The situation is clear. We, as Africans, do not know our continent. We don't know all the different cultures and countries, economy specificities of each region that forms our continent. So an effective communication campaign has to take that into consideration. Second point is we have that responsibility of creating campaigns that highlight Africa's success and Africans' achievements. And I think this is definitely an important part of changing the narrative that we have been speaking of for the last period, and also that the keynote was highlighting. Changing the narrative about the continent comes from us, from the campaigns that we are building and from the messages we are conveying. And it is important to highlight our successes and where Africa has been able, what Africa has been able to achieve and what Africans have been able to build and to develop. Maybe the third thing is building connections that will foster collaboration and facilitate synergies. And this is where the Beyond the Border would come. How can we make a campaign in Cameroon be visible to people in Morocco, South Africa, and Uganda, and create in them this feeling that we share a lot and we can benefit from each other's experiences, build on each other's experiences, and make the impact go beyond the country where the campaign or the project is taking place. If I would like to answer a question in a very clear way, which about the challenges, I think we are facing many challenges, mainly related to that diversity. So at some point, this challenge of diversity is in itself our opportunity to show all the richness of Africa, 3,000 cultures, 2,000 languages, 54 countries. And I think that the first challenge is about this diversity is that from outside Africa, people look, brands, organizations look at Africa as a country, not as a continent, thinking that everything can be duplicated the same way in Algeria, Mali, Mozambique, or Lesotho, where we do have different cultures and definitely need to be addressed in different ways. This is where thinking global and acting local takes a lot of sense. The second challenge, I think, is about the standards. We tend to think that the European standards are the standards, where we do have African standards because we do have our history, we do have our culture, we do have our own way of doing things. So at some point, we need to point out that what is not European is not absolutely not good. We do have our own standards. Now we have the responsibility to showcase them, to explain them, and to help others understand them and commit to our standards, which come from our culture and which come from our know-how and our expertise. It is not because we do not do things the way Europeans do that we do them bad. It is our way of doing them is the good way because we come from here. We know what here means, and we know what Africans will listen to, what matters for them, and what will create impact for them.
Thank you so much, Khadija. It keeps getting better. You know, thanks for that reminder. Think global, act local. And then the African standard. What is the African standard? We need to set the African standard. When you look at the lens of who we are as Africans, there's so many things that make us beautiful. There is the intricacy. There is the dynamism. There is the beauty in how we do things. And when we take that into how we communicate and set standards for ourselves, we become an institution that can be respected and can be looked up to. So thank you for bringing that out. It's a challenge to each and every one of us on this call to start forming the African standard. And that comes from the narratives. You know, Maki spoke about changing the narratives. A couple of, you know, we've had feedback on changing the narratives, creating the narratives. And that's how we set the African standard. you know, we create the narrative to tell our stories and we set our standards. Thank you so much. Now, moving on to Fiona, in this fast evolving world of technology and its influence on communication, how do you tackle some of the issues we have around false information, inaccurate accounts, and other non-ethical issues that plague a borderless Africa?
Thank you very much. I'm really glad that I'm able to be part of this all-female panelists. And it's amazing to just see how amazing communicators we have across Africa and amazing amazing insights being shared today. Thank you very much. Of course, with the advent of digital technology, there's a lot of things that a lot of people are sharing online. We have a lot of misinformation. We have a lot of disinformation being currently shared. And as a communications professional, it's important that we realize the power we have in ourselves to change the narratives and to ensure that people get the correct information that is being shared by the different organizations on the social media space. In Kenya, for example, we have the organization that is responsible for ensuring ethical considerations by anything to do with ethics in the media space called the Media Council of Kenya. So this organization is very key in ensuring that there's a lot of training on false information, misinformation, disinformation. And it works with a lot of organizations like Africa Check and other national newspapers to just ensure that all the information that is going out to the public is correct. And there's a lot of training for the mass media and the journalists on how to identify false information, how to flag false information and fact check the various organizations and accounts on social media that are trying to send information to just sharing information on social media. So it's important for us as communications professionals to actually just keep up, be updated on what's happening. If I am covering stories in maybe the East African countries of Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, I need to understand the ethical considerations that have been set by those countries so that when I'm reporting, I really understand, you know, the impact of what I'm reporting and the impact of what I'm sharing on social media, which is quite important to ensure that whatever information we get on the social media is valid information and, of course, is ethical to our various partners on social media.
Thank you so much, Fiona. That was very key. My key takeaway from that was stay updated. As communication professionals, we need to stay updated with what is going on. Moving on to my next question is for Maki. Maki has to drop off soon, and I want us to get as much as we can from her before she leaves. So communication is typically seen, now coming back to the development space and the work that we do, communication is typically seen as a support effort instead of the key role it plays at the center of development projects. How would you describe the importance of communications to the start, the success, and the continuation of development projects? Putting it this way, particularly to shed the light on how communications is a full part of the or the entire life cycle of change and impact that we make in the development space. Over to you, Maki.
No, thanks. Great question. You know, I think that one of the challenges that we have with people who, you know, do communications or who sort of commission communications is that we see it as a way of, as a tool for publicity. We want to just get the word out that we sponsored this, we funded this, this is what we're doing. And obviously, communications is far more of a strategic tool, has a potential to be far more of a strategic tool because it is. There are many things it can do, but in the development sector, one of the things that it has a critical role to do is to show progress. Because all of these projects that we support, that we do communications around, are projects that are trying to elevate the continent. They're trying to, you know, fix something. They're trying to solve a problem. So for me, it's much more about, look, we're making progress. We've got local solutions for local problems. So it's a way of showing Africans have agency, because that's one of the things that I think we tend to do sometimes. We rely on the big global funders who come in with their big bucks. They're the ones who pay for the big communications campaigns. And we often forget, actually, it's the local NGOs, it's the local organizations that, A, probably have the solutions, but are definitely implementing them. So in a way, one of the things that I think that more organizations who support communications can do is look at it as a tool for showing progress on the continent, but also for showing local agency. That this is something that we as Nigerians, as you know, Kenyans, as South Africans are doing in our community. Because we understand, because nowhere is perfect. You know, we always get the impression that the global north is perfect and, you know, they don't have any problems there. All the problems are down here. There's nothing wrong with having problems. Because problems are a way, or challenges, should I say, because they're a way of showing innovation. Because if you solve the problem, that's you're innovating. So for me, we need to use communications as a tool to improve our sense of agency and to show that we're making progress as a continent, not just as a tool for publicity.
Thank you so much for that, Mwaki. Communications is not just about publicity, it's about showing progress. And not just progress, but also showcasing our agency, our ability to participate in our own story, in our own change, in our own narrative, and our ability to own that. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Moving on now to Blessing. From your experience, how has technology played in facilitating communication for development across borders? And in what ways can we leverage technology to advance development across Africa?
All right, thank you very much. Like they say, our world is now more interconnected than it can ever be. With the advancement in digital technology, we are living in a global village. So no matter how far you are, technology has helped us to break the barrier of geographical limitations that we can have. So we give the credit to technology. Now, technology has actually helped us. I'm going to be speaking from the point of view of being the comms manager at Faith Foundation to advance our work. How? Firstly, Faith Foundation is a nonprofit organization that is focused on enabling businesses, Nigerian businesses, entrepreneurs, you know, helping them with all the supports they need to start, grow, and scale their businesses. And we've been able to do this not just within the four walls of the country, but beyond, you know, across other African countries. And we've been able to do our disposal. Now, every year we produce an impact report that speaks clearly to what we've been able to achieve in the year. It will highlight our strategies, our wins. It highlights our chance lens programming, what we've been able to do to inspire entrepreneurs and the growth they're experiencing in their various businesses. We also engage in research activities and policy advocacy just to create an enabling environment for entrepreneurship ecosystem and sustainable development in the country. Now, what has that done for us? It provides information. You now have more access to the information you need to make informed decisions as it relates to entrepreneurship in Nigeria. We are also able, through the availability of the technology that we deploy, to influence certain decisions that is related to policies that can either affect or be of great benefit to entrepreneurs. So you have access to information as much as possible. Technology has also enabled us to have access to learning. So there's e-learning now. So if you are not able to be physically present at a place to learn, you can just go online and take on some courses and just learn, improve yourself, sharpen your perspective of what a place is like, their culture, their belief system, which will in turn influence the kind of decisions that you make. It has also helped to foster collaboration and partnership for us as an organization. How? We are able to tell our impact, transmitting the information through the technologies that is available at our disposal. And people who share the same values as we do and see us as a reliable organization to partner with, they come. And then we increase the number of funders that we have. We increase the number of partnerships that we have in a year. We open up opportunities for people to also engage with us so that together we can drive more impact across board, not just in Nigeria, but in other countries of the world. Now, how do you leverage on it? The truth is that as much as we have a lot of technological tools available, you have to understand the one that best serves you. Which of these platforms will serve you? How will they serve you? The people you are called to serve, where are they found? How can they be reached? How do you reach them? So you begin to deploy the best technology that is suitable to reaching the people that you are called to serve. So in a nutshell, technology has really enhanced the work at Faith Foundation because it has built not just our awareness, but it has also built our credibility as an organization. So my admonition will be that you leverage on every form of technology that is available to drive your objective and achieve your goals.
Wow. Thank you so much for that blessing. Technology is an ally. Leverage technology for awareness, to pull in funds, to tell your story, to learn. There's so much. And, you know, you ended with a beautiful line. We should use technology, all forms of technology, for good. Use it for yourself. Use it for the work you do. Use it for how you communicate. Thank you so much, Blessing. Thank you for that. Moving on to Khadija. Now, Khadija, looking at the work that you have done, particularly across Africa, the work you do with your PR company, what are some of the unique challenges you have experienced with trying to do work across Africa? You know, we spoke to the diversity of Africa and thinking global, but making it local. Now, it's not always that easy, you know, to be able to work locally across different countries. And I know you work for organizations that exist or that has presence in over 45 countries and five continents. What has that been like working across different countries, across different continents? And what has been some of the issues you've faced and some of the ways in which you've gone about it?
Well, I think the first challenge is to explain the African media scene to the clients, the organizations or brands or companies that we work with. Usually when we are mandated to cover different countries of Africa, this would come from companies located outside the African continent or having their Africa regional offices, either be in Dubai, the US, somewhere in Europe, or in the best case scenario in Morocco, and believing that an agency in Morocco would be able to manage PR across the continent. So the first challenge is to explain that, yes, we are on the African continent, but Africa is a continent and each country has its own and specific ways of doing PR. And explain that we will not be able as a team based in Morocco to do PR in DRC or in Cameroon or in any other parts of the world. And that's why we had developed a network of partners and team members located in different countries where we work. And this is also the power of a network like Africa Communications Week, where we are able to tap into Africa expertise in PR in different parts of the continent and be sure that we will be partnering with the best-in-class people in each country because we do have local expertise. So that's the first challenge. Now, when collaborating, the second challenge is to explain that we cannot do the same things in the same way in different countries. In Morocco, for example, we do have PR practices that are very different from in Senegal, where we do have our offices. In South Africa, it's a completely another story. Besides the fact that languages would be different, but even the content that would create interest within the journalists is different, has to be formulated differently. You have different practices where when we do invite journalists to come to a press conference in Morocco, they would come. In different countries, you have to explain why, and they would have conditions, and you would be able to do it under certain in a certain way. So that's the second challenge. That's why I was speaking about the standards, the African standards. People do not know who we are, do not know how we work, and have hard time understand that in the same continent we work differently because we are different. Now what we try to do, because we are still a continent and we are working, and I think that's one of the reasons why we are here today discussing this, is that we want to build that power, that's Africa power. So we still want to convey that image of a continent that is united. So what we do is we try to focus on our commonalities, what unites us rather than the differences between us, and explain that in terms of global culture, we have a common thread that makes it more relevant to have maybe an agency in Morocco or in Senegal or in South Africa, manage Africa PR rather than one in Dubai or in Paris or in London. Because we do have many common things. We do share a lot, mainly in terms of understanding the history of our continents, but most importantly, the future of our continents. Understanding what can be seen as weaknesses are not. It's just part of our identity. They usually would speak about Africa as a continent where you don't have any political stability. It can be seen as politically unstable, but still countries are living, people are living within these models. It doesn't mean that they are the best, but it means that we do have a certain way of doing things, a certain way of living, and people have to understand it is the current way and it is the current status. We might think of Africa as an insecure continent where actually it is not. Some parts of Africa are not, just like some parts in any other country or continent. And our role in here is to explain that we understand these specific things better than any other agency located outside the continent. And our force in our unity, our commonalities can be, we can tap into our commonalities to make, to create relevant campaigns and to create relevant messages.
Thank you so much for that, Khadija. A united Africa is actually beneficial for all of us. A united Africa allows us to collaborate, to synergize, to find more ways to work together, to even create more meaningful campaigns. Because when we unite within, we're able to tackle the issues, even though they are occur across different cultures and different countries. Thank you for that. And again, back to setting the African standard. The African standard can only be set when Africans are united enough to come together and agree on what that standard looks like. What are we saying is our standard? And when people come in from outside to work with us, to implement projects with us, we have a standard that we're working with. Thank you so much for that, Khadija. It's always good to hear your thoughts. Moving on to Fiona. Fiona, you have done some great work and worked on some key projects across East Africa. And particularly, you are very versed with strategic communications. Can you shed some light on some key projects you've worked with fostering change across East Africa and the rest of Africa, and highlight the importance of strategic communications when it comes to development comms?
Thank you very much for that question. Yes, I have been privileged to work on a number of projects across Africa and in the UK on development communication and international development. And what I have realized is that a lot of organizations actually don't take communications that very seriously until perhaps during at the end of the projects. That's when you hear a lot of organizations coming to look for communications consultants or running to their communications departments to want to help them to launch a report, at the end of a project that has lasted for about 3 years or so. So as a comms expert, having worked with various organizations, I try to advise organizations the importance of comms, even as they are planning their projects at the onset of their projects. So what I've seen is that I was doing coaching for executive directors in East Africa, and I was telling them the importance of strategic communications in each and everything they do, because a lot of the times project managers, project officers just work in silos until the end of the projects. That's when they incorporate the comms people to come and report on what they have done. So the coaching was basically to try and help them understand the importance of understanding what comms is all about in their organizations, how they can incorporate comms in each and every stage of their project implementation. So Strategic communications is very important for organizations because a lot of social change organizations are doing great work, but if they're not communicating what they're doing, then people wouldn't really know and appreciate the impact of the work that they're doing, which can be felt across borders. So as I train people on strategic communications, I tell them that it's important to understand what the objectives of communications is for the organization and the projects that they intend to tell people the stories about. So what are the objectives of communications for an organization or a particular project? And then it's important, as other speakers have spoken about, of understanding who your audiences are. So if you really have not done proper research to know who your audiences are, you will actually have a haphazard way of communicating whatever it is that you want to communicate. So today you want to maybe have a campaign on social media on Twitter, tomorrow you want to have another campaign on TikTok, and perhaps your audiences are not on TikTok. So it's important for you to do proper research as a as an organization to understand where your audiences are. And then of course you can plan your messages according to where these audiences are found at, and then of course organize properly to use appropriate channels of communications for you to have maximum impact for the messages you want to send out to the various specific target audiences. I can give examples of, you know, communications for development that has had tremendous impact in the various projects I've worked in across East Africa. around 2015, 2017, 2018, I worked on across projects in East Africa, where we did a lot of training on climate smart agricultural processes and trained a lot of farmers and used a lot of church organizations to just reach a diverse audiences across Africa. So there's a story I wrote about a farmer who was helping young people because young people do not have means of production, they do not own land. So this old man was giving young people land and subdividing his land and engaging and helping them to learn about climate smart agricultural processes and enabling them to just thrive in farming. And this story was actually picked up by some donors in the EU, and they didn't reach out to us as an organization, but they actually reached out to these people in Tanzania directly. So these people were actually given funds to continue their organic farming, which was on passion fruits, and they were actually given funds to export their passion fruits in the European Union. So you see, if you actually are able to tell your stories very well, a well-told story can actually, you know, impact borders, and a lot of people will actually understand what you're doing and they can emulate. You know, there's replicability and scalability of projects because of well-told stories. And I remember also working with a think tank on climate change, and I was just thrown into the deep end of communicating climate change adaptation and mitigation strategies. So I was involved in developing a lot of information education materials for African Union and the African Union member states, and organizing a training where we were bringing a lot of organizations from Africa to work together on climate change and understanding the importance of collaboration amongst countries and amongst departments in countries, within and without the countries, and just helping them to understand the Green Climate Fund. And so this was quite impactful because after the trainings and on the GCF, we had a lot of organizations coming together from the various countries, and also from across countries. We had organizations from Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania partnering together to actually develop the proposals for GCA for adaptation and mitigation. We had countries, Ghana, Tanzania, Kenya coming together, you know, countries from all of Africa coming together to collaborate on projects that they thought were actually very impactful for the people on the ground. So communications is actually very important, and you have to be very strategic in how you partner and do collaborations with the various entities that you'd want to create impact for maximum, you know, impact for the various communities that you are targeting to work in. I have done projects on behavior change communication where I have had, some panelists speak here about cultural sensitivity, where it's important to, if you're working across countries, to understand where communities are coming from, because if I am trying to do a campaign on behavior change campaign, and behavior change communication in Kenya and Tanzania may be facing similar issues like FGM, what's happening in Kenya is very different from what's happening in Tanzania. So it's important for communications professionals to actually understand the cultures of the different countries they are working in and the cultural sensitivity, so that even as they communicate, even as they put together messages for behavior change campaigns, they can be received well, they can be well received rather than have backlashes from these communities. Also, I have been privileged to also work across the education sector in East Africa, where we did a lot of advocacy campaigns for girls to go back to school after the COVID era, because during the COVID era, we had a lot of girls, teens who were pregnant. So we did a lot of great campaigns in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania to just enable the various stakeholders to understand what they need to do to be able to go to the villages and speak to the education stakeholders and speak to the communities to ensure that these girls go back to school, and also engaging the government to just ensure that policies are put in place to ensure that these girls are not segregated when they go back to school. So ordinarily, I can say that communication for development and strategic communications has to be very well thought out. You have to really understand what the objective of the communication is. And then, of course, the audiences and your target audiences, they have to be very specific for you to create specific messages for these audiences. And then using the correct channels for you to reach out to these audiences. And, of course, also carrying out monitoring, evaluation, and learning to just understand how the impact that your communication is having as you move forward, not at the end of the project, for you to be able to change tact if communication is not having impact that is supposed to have as you move along swiftly. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Fiona. Fiona practically took us through a masterclass on how to plan strategic communications from the start to the end. Starting from involve comes from this ideation of the work you want to do. Comes is not what comes in at the end when you're done, or you just want to push out a report. They're part of your processes. The intentionality of communications to building context. You know, you said while we have similar problems sometimes across Africa, we don't have the same context. We don't have the same background. So understanding the context before crafting your campaigns or your strategy makes them more effective. And, you know, generally, like I said, it was an entire masterclass on how to plan strategic communications. I hope we took a note. We've come to the end of our panel session. I'm going to just go around the room for our highly esteemed panelists to give us some final thoughts. Then we move into the question. So please, starting from Khadija, any final words for us?
I think the best final word I can drop at the end of this panel is that we need to know more each other, because at some point it is easy to drop the responsibility to the outside world, but it is better if we can take also our responsibility to see that as communicators, we need to get to know more about our continent, to know more about the differences in order to be able to identify the commonalities and build upon them. Second point is to open up our reflections and think of everything we do as more African than country oriented, build country companies in order for them to be scalable and to be able to be replicated in other countries. That's how we will effectively be creating that new narrative that we are all thriving for.
Thank you so much, Khadija. Thank you for that. Blessing, please, your final words.
All right, thank you very much. It's been wonderful so far. And I'd like to round off by saying that nobody will tell our stories better than we would do. If we allow people to tell our stories for us, they might just say it in bits, but we are in the better position to tell our stories. And I really appreciate authors, communication professionals that tell the story just as it is. Kende made a statement from the beginning to say that we have to find a way to tell the truth. How do we put out the truth so people can take this truth and run with it? And when I talked about leveraging on technology to push our course out there, it is also to say that there are certain narratives that we want to change, and it is communication that can help us change those narratives. And I also appreciate what Khadija has said about you know, giving yourself to understanding what your standard is. If you know it so well, you can communicate it, you can tell it to the world, and ensuring that you know the people you are called to serve. If you know where they are and you apply the power interest matrix, then you can channel your message to the people that you want to reach for the different purpose or goals that you have for yourself. So first of all, is identifying the change that you want to see and now creating a strategy on how you want to achieve that and follow through. What that will do for you is going to open ground for a lot of opportunities, which goes beyond collaboration, partnership. People are coming to understand your work a lot better. You give room for inclusivity, where people can also come in and be part of the work that you do. And lastly, remember that it is very possible to replicate what you have done in a particular geographical location elsewhere. All you need to do is just be very intentional and be very strategic. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for that lesson. Thank you for the recap and for sharing your thoughts. Any final words from you, Fiona?
Thank you very much. Amazing, amazing insights from everyone today. And it's just amazing for me again. It's a female and all female panelists, which is very rare to see. So it's very interesting to see, you know, female journalists and communicators just speaking sense to what's happening in Africa. And amazing. Hopefully we can have more of this in the future. So there's an African proverb that says, until the land tells the story, the hunter will always be the hero. So like Blessing has said, and Khadija and every other person has said, it's important for us to actually think how we can tell our stories better. You know, having worked with communities across Africa, I'm usually fascinated when I go to the villages and I see innovations. I see people who are deep in poverty actually living their best lives, you know, every day as it comes, and putting their best foot forward to just live their best life, to do you know, projects on adaptation and mitigation on climate change. And unless we actually just are very focused on telling these stories and ensuring that these people are empowered to also tell these stories, it's the world will not know what Africa is doing on the ground. And for us to talk to governments, and because we have worked with governments and policymakers, we just ensure that these stories are told very well. And there are policies that are put in place to ensure that people in the villages are reached and included in decision-making tables and policy processes for us to have an impactful Africa where even the minorities, where the voices of the marginalized are heard at the policy-making level, then we really have to ensure that we put our best foot forward as communicators, as people who have traveled the world and have seen what other people are doing, to just ensure that we tell the story of the person in the village as effectively as possibly as we can, and ensure the governments are actually involved in this to tell these stories very well for impact, and ensure that, you know, there's borderless communication as we have seen today in today's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fiona. Thank you to our panelists. This has been a rich and engaging conversation. Thank you, Moki, even though you had to drop off, for introducing us to solutions communication. I hope the different communication professionals we have on this call are going to use this as a framework to rethink how they communicate for their organizations, and even for entrepreneurs, being able to communicate from a solutions perspective. Thank you, Khadija, for the African standard. Now we are all challenged to start working towards the African standard, to define it, to institutionalize it. What is the African standard? One of excellence, one of detail, one of creativity, and bringing all of that into how we carry out our work. Blessing comment, encouraged us to view technology as an ally, using technology for all that we do, using technology to communicate, using technology for the work we do, and leveraging technology as a tool. So please, as communication professionals, technology is at our disposal, is useful for us, is beneficial for us, and is key to the work that we do. And Fiona ended with telling us to tell good stories, to tell stories at whatever level we are, whether you're reporting from a rural area to urban stories, tell good stories. We're responsible. Our chief responsibility as communication professionals is to tell impactful stories, to tell good stories, to tell stories about the work that we're doing. And this sort of ties up everything that we've said. Leverage technology to tell tell your stories. Tell your stories from a solutions perspective. Have an African standard, a spirit of excellence when you tell your stories. Bring in good work. And then even for other people who work on in different parts of the team when it comes to the development space, involve communications as a key ally and partner in developing solutions so that we can all collaborate towards the Africa that is truly worthy of all its potentials and all the work that we're putting in. Thank you so much, panelists. So we'll move over to the questions. We currently have, wow, quite a number of questions. So I am going to randomly pick some and I would throw them out at different people. So I'm going to start with Fiona. Who are the true heroes, the donor or the beneficiaries, and how can we, and how can development organizations or development communicators drive to the narrative of who the true heroes are?
Well, that's a tricky, question.
Very tricky one.
Very tricky, but I can say, well, really both the donor and the beneficiaries are heroes in their own way, because the beneficiaries, without the beneficiaries can still tell their stories through comms people, but if they do not have the funds to reach a wider audience, which might be more impactful, then it might be impossible for them to tell their story. So for me, it's a 50-50. We have, of course, even as you're working with donors to tell these stories across Africa, we have to know that there's a thin line between now just praising and telling the stories that the donor wants to hear and actually telling the real stories on the ground. So as a comms person, as comms professionals, we need to balance and know that in as much as donors have actually funded the organizations that we are working for and have funded the activities and programs and projects, we definitely need to tell the story as it is on the ground, but without, you know, breaking, without, you know, whatever, burning bridges as we do that.
Okay, thank you for that, Fiona. This next question would be for Blessing. How can we censor the use of social media in order to limit the spread of false information into our communities? So I guess essentially, while I know we cannot censor social media, how can we as communications professionals play a part in stopping the spread of false information, or how can we counter false information when it comes out?
Okay, thank you very much for the question. Like you rightly said, we are unable to do that. We can't even control what the media brings to us, but we can control what we respond to, of course, through PR. And PR in using whatever means available to us to respond as polite as possible without even being defensive. So for example, somebody is speaking ill of an organization and say that, oh, this is what you do, this is what you did that I think is wrong, whether from the point of bias or they're being very logical or they're trying to express themselves as it came to them. So what we can do is leverage on your platforms that are at your disposal to state your side of the story. So it's like putting out a disclaimer, you know, to say that either we are not part of what you have said, or if we are part of it, we want to give perspective to what it truly is, other than keeping quiet. So many times people have gotten into a lot more trouble by keeping quiet, by not saying anything, because you feel that's the best way to fight it. It's not true. I believe that when things like that happen, and maybe you were mentioned or your attention is called to it, what you then need to do is to speak about it using your platform, stating your truth. What is your truth? And then people can see it, appreciate it, give their comment, and you respond promptly and accordingly. So I think that's the best we can do.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and some insights into combating the issue of false information that is actually that actually plagues us every day. Yeah. And the last question that we would answer on this call before we try to respond as much as we can in the follow-up emails that go after this conversation is for Khadija, and it's around collaborations. How can we effectively collaborate for change? And as a side note, somebody made a comment and said we need to have a masterclass or some workshop on the African standard. So Khadija, this is for you. Probably we need to organize the African standard. I mean, we have representatives from all parts of Africa on this call. So we probably need to, you know, start up another organization around the African standard and start setting the pace for that. But somebody has asked that we should define what the African standards are. And maybe we need to start having workshops on what that looks like and how African communication professionals can start adopting that as a style for their work and setting it as a standard. But over to you, how can we collaborate effectively for the work that we do?
Well, I believe that part of the answer or the whole answer is exactly illustrated in the comments where one of the audience is asking for a masterclass. So basically, collaboration can start by sharing knowledge and building things together. We do speak a lot about co-creation, co-development. So I think that this is exactly the key and how we can start with that. Speaking about the standards, and now defining the standards, our standards, African standards, will also go through changing a number of paradigms. So we need to shift some paradigms. I will maybe illustrate from the question. So I have a position towards this naming of donors / beneficiaries, where, to be honest, Africa has always been seen as recipients of donations from the rest of the world. So I think that the first shift in paradigms that we have to operate within ourselves is to stop identifying Africa as beneficiary in general from the Europe or the rest of the world, and start thinking of a partnership of equals with the rest of the world. And I think that it once again has to come from ourselves, from within us, and change the words we use with our partners, with our clients, correct in a way their wording, which would lead to correcting the way they see us. And this is part also of how we can build our new narrative, how we can work together instead of seeing ourselves as competitors, but as a unique force. It's also about shifting the paradigms. And I think that if we have to see the power of two, which will be definitely bigger than the power of one, and the power of 10, that will be more impactful than the power of five. And finding how we can start to be complementary rather than walking on one another's feet. And to be honest, we have very good success stories in collaborating with agencies around the continent with ethics and responsibility. We have been working with a number of agencies, either from the ACW network or from other networks, where we have set the rules at the beginning. We have identified the responsibilities and duties of each part and how we will work together as a network to serve one client or one brand. And when you are speaking with professional people, expert people, responsible and ethical people, believe me, you can build that collaboration, and everybody is winner. And even the collaboration will last with the clients, because for sure, as Tea and Coffee, we will be able to provide a level of satisfaction to our client that would be like that. But if Tea and Coffee and other agencies, the level of satisfaction will be like that. So if we shift our paradigms, I believe that we'll be able to go forward and work together.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. We hope you have gained valuable insights into the power of effective communication and its potential to create positive change that transcends boundaries. If we properly harness communication strategically, it can serve as a catalyst for the development of the Africa that we want. Do well to follow us on all our social media platforms at Leap Africa on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on YouTube to stay updated with our programs, activities, and opportunities. Don't forget to save the date for the coming Youth Day of Service, YDOS, in August this year, where young people across Africa will come together to serve their communities and make a positive impact. For more information, visit www.youthdayofservice.org or check out the Leap Africa website at www.leapafrica.org. Thank you for listening, and until next time, keep being youthful and useful.